Happy Advent! As we prepare to welcome Jesus once again into the world, we intentionally set aside time each day to listen, meditate, and talk to God. Preparing for Jesus involves much more than buying presents and organizing parties. The more we devote ourselves to learning about the world into which Jesus was born, the more deeply we will understand what it means to welcome Him into our world. Join us as we seek to welcome Jesus with our whole heart, mind, body, and strength this Advent season. Hi, welcome back to our Advent podcast where we are reading this book, The First Advent in Palestine by Kelly Nicondia. If you would like a copy, check our show notes. We have a link there, but you can get it at most bookstores, I would think. Today we are on chapter 5. I'm here with Rachel.
Hello, Rachel James, First Lutheran Children, Youth, and Family Minister.
Absolutely. And we are reading about a hospitable birth in a hard economy. So this is the story of the census and Mary and Joseph traveling back to Bethlehem. So in case you've forgotten, they began in Nazareth. And there is a law now that they must travel back to the land where Joseph's family came from, because even though they aren't formally wed yet, they are betrothed, and so Mary is considered a part of his family. And whenever I heard about traveling back for the census, I think about the census as the United States does the census, and little forms, and what is your race, and how many people in your household, and lots of just questions about the people. But what I learned from this book is this census wasn't really about who the people are. Caesar didn't really care. What Caesar cared about was how much money he could tax from you. And so the travel back to Bethlehem was important for Caesar, because then he would learn about all these people in this one family and how much he could tax them. So it wasn't a happy journey. And even though Joseph was going back and hoping to see some long-lost relatives, maybe, it was going to cost him money, because certainly Caesar is not going to lower taxes.
No. And the traveling costs and all that. He's not working, he's traveling.
Yeah. Absolutely. And he's got this wife, well, his betrothed, who is really pregnant. And I don't know how many of you have experienced this who are listening or watching, but there's a point where it gets super uncomfortable. I remember flying in a plane one time and we hit turbulence and I was like 6 months pregnant. Oh my gosh, I've never been that uncomfortable ever again in my life. Everything's bouncing and in different directions and it was awful. And so I can't imagine a long journey on a donkey in that state. It must have been so uncomfortable for Mary. But they were going to follow the rules. I mean, they didn't really have much of a choice. And they traveled back to Bethlehem. And when they get there, they aren't in a very wealthy place. No. They are with people who love them, but not necessarily people that have a lot of accommodations. One thing that's interesting is the housing that's done, or at least ancient housing in that part of the world. You would, a family would build a room or maybe a couple of rooms for their home. And then as their children grew and got married, they would build another room. And so it was just many, many, many rooms all attached to each other. And at this time, very likely they would put the animals in the center. So at night, the animals are taken care of, but they also provide body heat to warm the house. Now, there's probably aroma too. It didn't smell like Febreze in that house.
It's not that bad. I grew up on a farm, Pastor Jill. We had cows. The barn was always the perfect 74 degrees. On cold days, our old farmhouse was never warm enough. And so you'd go out to the barn to do work and it really smelled mostly like hay and cows. And cows are great because you can give them a really big hug and it doesn't hurt them. And so you can snuggle up. So it's not that bad. I will say I have rested. I don't think I've actually fallen asleep on a cow, but I've rested on a cow before.
Okay.
It's not that bad.
Well, I'm corrected. Yeah. I'm a city kid, so.
You get used to the smell.
Oh, okay. So anyway, the smell maybe isn't what the story is about, but it is about two people, young people that need a place to stay, and they get to the family and they don't necessarily have extra rooms, but they do have a place for them to lie down by the animals. But one thing that really challenged me is thinking about all these people that live in Bethlehem. They are not happy about being taxed, but they are going to pay what they can. But in some cases, they didn't have a lot, and it would push them over the edge to have to pay ever bigger taxes. And on top of that, they were also being taxed by the temple.
Yeah.
So they had to pay taxes to Caesar, and they had to pay taxes to this temple, and they might not have had a lot. And I think about how easy it is to ignore the plight of people that you maybe don't relate to or don't see on a regular basis, but are suffering. And one of the quotes in this chapter that jumped out to me, the author wrote, "I sometimes wonder if we are afraid to truly see them for fear of what that encounter might demand of us." And I'm thinking of the homeless people that we see that are getting ever more out into the suburbs, and maybe people that have like a drug problem or an alcohol problem or something where they just are struggling and they're not getting enough help from anybody. And the burden it places on me to see them. I look at them, and as I make eye contact with them, it becomes very difficult for me to disengage and to see need and to see a place where I could help, but to disengage. And I think maybe sometimes that's why we look away, because we are afraid what that encounter will demand of us, to see how people are suffering, because suddenly we don't feel like we can walk away.
That's so... it's such a challenging message for Advent. I think sometimes we think of Christmas season or Advent season like the Hallmark movies and everything is so beautiful and nice. But when you really read the Luke narrative with the census, you realize it's about people that probably are having a hard time paying their bills. And the author of this book says that the economy matters. That's really how she frames this chapter. And she says here something what you were saying on page 89. When I think of how Luke puts the economy front and center in the Advent narrative, I imagine we are meant to do the same in our present Advent practice. How do we see the economy, who it hurts, how its structures are riddled with injustice? How do we come alongside people and offer hospitality to those crushed by economic hardship? This Advent, I think that is a challenge for all of us, is to recognize that there's a lot of people struggling and that we have the opportunity to really live into our celebration of Jesus by seeking them out and providing initial help, but also advocacy for future and for the systems that set it up. And to know that maybe our house is full, just like Joseph's relatives are, but we can find ways and creative ways. Come on into the barn. Come on in. We'll be surrounding you this Advent practice, and to see how God's economy includes us to reach out beyond ourselves and to know that we have enough, that we'll be taken care of, even in the midst of a really difficult situation.
Right. And even if we might have to give up a little bit. Like you said, there's so much pressure at this time of the year to buy the perfect gift and to have it wrapped up the best way. And at the same time, there are people that can't pay their electric bill or they don't have transportation because they can't afford to get their car fixed. And how meaningful it would be if we could maybe downsize a little bit for Christmas in order to help somebody else have heat or or a bus ticket or something. Because that would mean more and be more in alignment with the Christmas spirit and setting people free from the burdens and the chains that bind them than just giving presents to people that actually already have more than enough. So it's a challenge, though, to really find that. And a lot of people are ashamed to admit it. But if we get presented with the opportunity, what a blessing it would be to be able to share some of our abundance with others. Yeah. So while we are feeling this challenge now, as we are thinking about this chapter and the economy that Jesus was born into, we can also think about how he made it.
That's right.
And it wasn't his parents doing it by themselves. It was the community surrounding them, mm-hmm. taking care of them. At the time of Jesus' birth, very likely there were relatives around helping out. They certainly gave them a warm place and a safe place to give birth. But then later when they had to travel to Egypt, there were some gifts. We'll get to in another chapter that maybe helped fund that journey. So I hope we feel the challenge right now mm-hmm. of Advent and maybe a little bit less artificial peace and more of a desire to make true peace.
That's right.
Yeah, let's pray. Lord Jesus, thank you for opening our eyes to the needs of those around us. It is challenging and uncomfortable, but we believe that when you do open our eyes, you are also calling us to do your work in this world. So give us the opportunity and the means to be a blessing this season and throughout the year. In your name, Jesus, we pray. Amen.